Stay standing with me and take your Bible and go to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 29 this evening. We'll be reading the entire chapter, 11 verses. Psalms chapter number 29, verses 1 through 11. I'll begin in verse number 1. You'll join me on verse number 2. We'll read all the way through verse number 11. Psalms chapter number 29, beginning in verse number 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his name. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness, the voice shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Let's read verse number 11 together. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this evening needy once again. This morning was good. We enjoyed the singing. We enjoyed the time together. We enjoyed hearing the Word of God being taught. But this evening, there's a new truth. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for how it applies to us in every area of our life. And Lord, we just appreciate all that you have done for us. But help tonight not just to be another service that we go through and leave and as the same that we came. But help this truth that we hear to just not necessarily change our lives, but Lord, help us to see you in a new light and become more real to us. Fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them tonight. Have you ever thought about what God's voice sounds like? Hollywood portrays it as a loud, echoing, booming voice. Is his voice high-pitched or is it low? Is it an intimidating sound or is it soothing? Just what does God's voice sound like? One of the heroes of history that I love reading about is a man named George Patton Jr., general in World War II. West Point grad. What a great warrior in World War I. And he fought with Black Jack Pershing and chasing Pancho Villa into Mexico. And just an amazing storyline on the life of George Patton. By the way, competed in the Olympics in equestrian jumping. A lot of people don't know that, as well as he was a runner and he placed it with a medal in the Olympics. I've read well over 10,000 pages about George Patton, but not until recently did I discover a small clip after World War II of General Patton. Personally, it was actually during World War II, not after, because he died just a few days or weeks afterwards, just discovered a clip of his with him actually speaking, and I'll be honest with you. He didn't sound like I imagined. You have this vision of George Patton, the old blood and guts. That's what they called him. Grab him in the nose and kick him in the pants. And he was a warrior of warriors. It was so bad that at the invasion at Normandy, General Patton was like a tiger ready to be unleashed. And he was mad that Eisenhower wouldn't put him in, but they used General Patton as a diversion on the southwest side of France as a diversion, so that the Germans were so afraid of Patton that the Germans moved many of their forces away from northern France to southern France to combat Patton. That's what allowed our guys to get on shore, and they finally convinced him that the Germans were so afraid of him. And he said, good, I'll whoop them down there then. He was just that kind of guy. I mean, when he was in North Africa with the 7th Army, we were bogged down getting our teeth handed to us. Patton showed up, and Rommel from Germany, he beat feet and got out of Africa. Patton was so mad, he stood in a tank turret and said, Rommel, I want to fight you. I've read your book. I want to fight you. He was so mad that he left. Wait a minute. I heard this clip. Greg, you're grinning because I know you've heard it. General Patton talked like this. He had the high, squeaky little voice. The great General George Patton.
Junior talking like this.
I thought, that's not what I expected. That was not even close to what I expected. Here's a man who led millions of men into battle. Men that would die for him. In one of the worst battles they were in, we were getting creamed, and General Patton jumped up and walked between our soldiers and the Germans and started parade marching. And the soldier said, General, get down, you're going to get killed. He said, if you don't want me killed, then you kill those guys that are trying to kill me. And they got up and charged ahead of him and ended up pulling through that battle because of that.
But he talked like this.
I thought, okay, that was a disappointment. I should have never listened to that. He didn't talk like that 6'4" drill instructor. Do this. And, it just wasn't that way. I think that often we let Hollywood create our thinking for us. I'd rather think that God and the Word of God has a better ability to tell us about God's voice than Hollywood. Amen. Now, I don't think God sounds like General Patton. But I'm really not sure, or I'm really sure God does not sound like Hollywood makes it out to be either. Here in Psalm 29, we see the term, the voice of the Lord, used 6 different times. 6 different times it says, the voice of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. That statement, the voice of the Lord, caught my attention one day. And it amazed me how many times the Bible talks about the voice of the Lord. Now, if you'll listen to me, I've got far more material than we can shake a stick at. I took that term and I just started doing a little Bible study, and I'm going to give you a little Bible study I had in my office one morning, and just want to praise God for a little while about the voice of God. First of all, the voice of God created the universe.
That's right.
Turn to Genesis chapter 1. The voice of God created the universe. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. And God, what?
Said.
Let there be light.
No, let there be light. And there was, just want to see if you're listening. And God said, let there be light. Verse 5, the Bible says, and God called. Now, how do you call something? You speak, right? Huh, he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Look at verse number 6, and God said. Look at verse number 8, and God called. Look at verse 9, and God said. Verse 10, and God called. And we could look at verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, verse 26, verse 28, verse 29. All of these said, God said, or God called something, something. Can I tell you something? God used his voice to speak everything into creation. It didn't come from a cataclysmic big bang, from a blob of mass in space that they don't know where it came from. You take it all the way back to that, they can't tell you where that came from. Well, it was always there. Oh, everything else can decide when it's going to be, but that had to be there somewhere. Their own science disproves evolution, by the way. Our great God spoke the universe into existence. That beautiful moon you saw coming up this evening, God spoke it into existence. The stars of heaven, God spoke into existence. The sun that will rise in the morning and set tomorrow evening, God spoke into existence. Can I tell you something? And it's so predictable, we can tell you where it's going to be at. We can tell you what position everything's going to be. We can predict the tides because God said it. Everything that God put in motion is still going just as he said. Just as he said. It was not the loudness of his voice that created it. It was the authority of that voice. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to show you something here that I believe. Oh, time to wake up, Brother Juan. 1 Kings chapter 19. I don't know if that was his or not, but 1 Kings chapter 19. Look at verse number 12. Bible talks about Elijah at the cave at Horeb. And I want you to notice something. Look at verse number 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, what? A still small what? Huh. A still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, heard what? The still small voice, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? That was the voice of God. I want you to notice something. It wasn't the earthquake. It wasn't the fire. It wasn't the wind. It wasn't all the rocks and things that were breaking because of all those things. The Bible says that the voice of God came in a still, small voice. Please don't take this the wrong way. God's not impressed with everybody jumping up and down, waving their arms and said, I got it, I got it, I got it. Did you feel it? Did you feel it? Did you feel it? He doesn't come that way. He comes in a still, small voice. You see, man thinks being loud is powerful. God says he speaks with a still small voice. You don't impress me with how you can lead people screaming and hollering. You impress me when people can't hear you lead. Look at Psalm 29 again. Psalm 29, verses 3 through 9. We were there. Wait a minute, that's book of Proverbs. That won't help you a bit. Psalm 29, verses 3 through 9. All these times God talks about the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. Six times he talks about his voice. Talks about it being on many waters. It breaks the timbers. Yet you see a softness to it. It is the authority, not the loudness. By the way, in Psalm 33, just a page over or so, look at verse number 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. The word of the Lord. How did the word of the Lord come? By his what? Voice. And all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth, he gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. That's the tides. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. God's talking about creation here. And he said, look, I created the world with my voice. I make the tides move. I spoke them into existence. They stand at attention when I need them to. They relax and go to the storehouses of the depths when I need them to. Hey, that's the way God intended for it to be. So, God created the universe with his voice. Number two, are you ready? I'm about to shout. The Bible is the spoken words of God to man that gives us life. This book that I hold in my hand, the King James Bible, are the spoken words of God. These are not the thoughts of God given to man, and man put them in man's words. Psalm 29 is not a psalm of David. It is a psalm of God. It may have been given to David, but it was God's voice that gave it. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse number 4. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is at the Mount of Temptation. Satan himself is there. Let me start in reading in verse number 1. Then Jesus was led of the Spirit, by the way, the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Man, I wouldn't be hungry. I'd be hangry after 40 days. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look at me. If there is not an every word Bible somewhere that proceeded out of the mouth of God, God's a liar and we're all going to go to hell. God said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word. Not every thought. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice, out of the mouth of God. He spoke those words to man. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. By the way, when it comes to the King James Bible, I'll fight.
Amen.
I don't care who it is, what it is, where it is, or when it is, I'll fight. Because if we don't have an every word Bible, then God's a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Not let God be the liar. Let's try to figure out which word it is.
Good.
John chapter 1. In the beginning. Sound like Genesis chapter 1? In the beginning was the what? Now look at me. Notice that's got a capital letter. That means it's a proper noun. That means it's a specific person, place, thing, or idea, correct? Okay, watch this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. That's His words. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the what?
Word.
Capital W or small?
Capital.
Same as verse number 1, right?
Yes.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Guess who that Word was? His name is Jesus.
Amen.
He was made flesh. Don't let somebody tell you that Jesus came to earth to be man. He's always been the man part of God.
Amen.
He came to earth to be flesh that could die. He's never come to earth to be man.
Right.
He had to put on a robe of flesh that could die. He couldn't die in his heavenly body. He had to be wrapped in flesh. He had to be robed in flesh that could die to pay our sin debt for us. But I want you to know something. When somebody messes with the Bible, they're messing with Jesus, and I'm going to fight. That's why this thing of the Bible is so important. That's why it's not our opinion. Let's just take God at his word. God gave us every word needed for life and productivity. That's what he said. Man cannot live by bread alone. That means not just money and food, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We don't need to rewrite it. We need to reread it. We don't need to make it more like our culture. We need to make our culture more like it. We don't need to have a politically correct Bible. We need a biblically correct politics. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun. Look out. God magnifies his word above his name. You think the name of God's important? He said, I'll magnify my word above my name. Turn to Psalm 138. I want you to see it. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to take God at his words. Psalm 138, look at verse number 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Can I tell you something? That book right there is as important and in God's eyes more important than the name of Jesus. That's not heresy. That's what he said. He said, I'll magnify my word above my name. Can I tell you why? Because if he breaks his word, he breaks his name. A man's as good as his
word.
Huh. If God can't keep his own word, then what good is his name? So God's word is what gives his name its authority. His word is powerful enough to defeat the devil. We won't take time to turn back to Matthew chapter 4, but when Jesus is on the Mount of Temptation, you can look at verses 1 through 11 later, you find out that three times Satan comes to him and says, if thou be the Son of God, do this. And God said, man cannot live by bread alone. It is written, it is written, it is written. It says, scripture says, it is written, and he quotes, by the way, Old Testament places. The Old Testament is as much the Word of God as the New Testament.
Amen.
Well, I just don't like the Old Testament, preacher. You tell God you don't like his book. Well, the Old Testament's law, the New Testament's grace. You've been listening to some Calvinist somewhere. That's not what God said. My Bible says in Hebrews, by faith, Adam. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. All those came before the law. What are you going to do with that one? Put that in your pharisaical pipe and smoke it. There's no such thing as law and grace. Nobody ever got saved by the law. For by grace are you saved through faith. Matter of fact, if you go through the book of Galatians, you find out that no flesh has ever been justified by the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, his word is powerful enough to defeat the devil. I used to preach at a rescue mission in downtown L.A. on 5th Street. Some of you old timers, remember the show Hill Street Blues? Okay, remember they would show the cardboard street people living in cardboard boxes? That was filmed on 5th Street. That wasn't Hollywood. That's the real deal. Every 2 weeks, the police or the fire department comes down and takes fire hoses and hooks them up to the hydrants and washes down into the sewers the human waste on the sidewalks. My wife's been there a few times with me. It's not a pleasant place. And I'm not making fun of anybody, but it's probably about 90%, and I'm the wrong color person there. it's pretty dark down there. But it doesn't matter to me. It's dark with sin. There would be 200-300 people crammed into this chapel of this rescue mission every time I go down there and preach. I'll promise you, I'd take a group of men and ladies with me, and they would sing as a choir, and they worked as soul winners at the end of the preaching, and I'd go down there, we'd have 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 people saved every time we go down there. They had to come through a special door and go through the bug light to kill all the bugs on them before they came in and sat down. It's a rough place. I remember we had a black deacon with me, and he loved me, and he was crazy as I was. Man, you ought to see something funny. I took my mom and dad down there one time. My mom almost had twin calves. It was bad. We had 12-foot high, triple-gated, gauged fencing, and it's got rolled razor wire at the top and through the fencing just to keep people out of the parking lot. And my mama wasn't a happy lady. It's the one of only two places my dad ever said, don't be bring back here. Don't want to come back here. The other place was Mexico and Tijuana. He didn't want to go back there either. I got to preaching one night. I promise you, I was preaching, and a guy back about a third of the way back over here gets up in the middle of the service and starts praying to Satan while I'm preaching. Okay, I've been through a lot of things. See, what'd you do, preacher? Preach a little louder. Louder I preached, the louder he prayed. That old black fella on the platform with him said, tag, preacher. Tag, preacher. Tag, preacher. And third time he said it, he said, tag, preacher. And he jumps up. He holds his hand up. I hit his hand. He jumps off the platform. He comes running back. He looks at that guy. He says, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And starts preaching at him. That far from his face. Say, what'd you do? I let him preach. About 30 seconds later, he said, now sit down. Guy sat down. He said, now you stay there and shut up. He come back up, said, tag, preacher. Jumps up on the platform, bang. Picked up, started preaching. I promise you it happened. I have more fun in church than most people have anywhere in life, let me tell you. Can I tell you something? You can rebuke somebody in the name of Jesus, but you better do it with the word of God. Amen. It is the word of God that's, by the way, that man walked an aisle and got saved at that service. So, God spoke it with his voice, the universe to existence. The Bible is the spoken words of God that give us life. Number three, what are some of the traits of God's voice? According to scripture. Turn to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Look at Exodus chapter 33, verse number 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, am I in the right chapter? No, I'm not. That was 32. I knew it didn't sound right. Here we go. Verse chapter 33, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. I want you to notice something. God says that he spoke to Moses as a friend. Now, when I talk to my friends, I don't say, ho! Thunder doesn't roll, the lightning doesn't flash. God spoke to Moses as a friend. I'm sure they laughed. I'm sure, if you read the book of Exodus, one time God's ready to kill all the Jews and Moses said, God can't do that. The very next chapter, Moses tells God, kill them all. I'm done, kill them all. And he said, I can't do that. You already told me I can't do that. About two chapters later, God said, I'm ready to kill them all. He said, you wouldn't let me do it. Now you can't do it again. Say, what was it? He talked as a friend. Can I tell you something? You can talk to God as a friend. You see, he has the voice of a friend. Did you ever have one of those days and you just needed to hear from a friend? Had a preacher this week call me. He'd had a bad week. He said, "Can I call you?" I said, "Sure." He called me. He said, "I just need to hear your voice." I said, "Well, phone's there. Pick it up anytime you need it." He said, "I just need to hear a friendly voice." Can I tell you something? Sometimes God's just waiting for his friends to call. Look at Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, look at verse number 25. Look at verse number 24. "And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty." Huh. "The voice of speech, as the noise of an host. And when they stood, they let down their wings, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had their let their wings down." A lot of you don't understand what that means. Brother Aaron, you're learning. You ought to be out hunting one day and hear a flock of birds fly over. Say, they make noise. You can just hear their wings flapping. Sounds like the wind blowing. Think, okay, the wind's going to blow, and then all of a sudden there's no, and you look up, and here comes this flock of birds. You're going, don't look up and smile. Aren't you glad cows don't fly? Can I tell you something? God talks about the voice of the Almighty, and his voice sounds like the wind. Turn to chapter 10, Ezekiel chapter 10. Just a few pages over. Chapter 10, look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with a cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the Lord's glory, and the sound, the cherubims," and I missed wherever that was, and I think I have the wrong verse written down. What's that? Verse 5, "And the sound of the cherubim's wings were heard, even to the outer court, and the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh." That's it. It came to pass. Now notice something. It talks about the wings of the cherubim. That voice of that wind rushing. It's not loud, but it's a different pitch. You hear it rushing. So God says that's the voice of the Almighty. God said it's like the voice of many waters. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse number 5. I think that's right. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, was washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests." We said, that wasn't the one I was thinking of. And I'm not sure where I'm at on that one, but "Behold, he will come with clouds." Verse 10. Nope. "Voice of a trumpet." Verse 12. "I turned to see the voice spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." Turn to chapter 19. I don't know what I was wrote down there, but aren't you glad this is a place you can make mistakes? All right. Chapter 19, look at verse number 6. "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Notice something, the loudness of that was the multitude, not his voice. Have you ever heard water from a creek or a river? God said his voice is like that. To me, there's nothing more soothing than sitting beside the ocean listening to the waves. If I were to ever pick a place in the world where I had to go, if I had to sleep, it would be right next to the ocean. I can just listen to that roll back and forth. it's just very soothing to me. The trickling of water has a calming effect on people. Has another effect on some people, but not me. can I tell you something? Y'all are bad. I didn't say what that was. Yeah. Can I tell you something? God's voice is a soothing voice. God has a fatherly voice. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. I'll give you two other references. We'll not read them tonight because of time. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse number, I think 17 is what I have. Yes. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Do you know that God has a voice of a father? Mark 1:11, Luke 3:22 all say the same thing, that the voice of God is that of a father. Remember one day, Brother Mike, I'd graduated from college, I was in the ministry. My dad came to California, saw our church, saw us working. Before he left, my dad put his arms around me. He said, "Son, I'm proud of you." Whew. I could have charged hell in a gasoline suit with an unloaded squirt gun. I was ready to go. To hear those words from my daddy, "I'm proud of you." Whew. After my mama's funeral, my dad and I were at the house, and he said, "Son, I don't know how you did it." He said, "But I'm proud of you. Your mom would have been pleased." Whew. Can I tell you something? That's the sound of a daddy. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He spoke very fondly of his children. John chapter 10. Boy, I got to hurry here. But I do want to get just a couple more in here. John chapter 10. I may just refer to a couple of these last ones because of time. John chapter 10, look at verse number 3. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Look at verse 16. "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Look at verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." God has the voice of a shepherd. Listen to this statement very carefully here. It doesn't say he drives them like a cowboy screaming and hollering, "Yeah, yeah, get, go, yo, yo." That's the average way we humans think we're a leader. Just because you can scream and holler and get people to move doesn't mean you're a good leader. God says, "I'll walk out in front of them and they know my voice, they'll follow me." God doesn't have to force anybody to follow. I've been around people who work with sheep. They can be mixed with a whole bunch of other sheep and a couple flocks together. You watch a shepherd get up and he'll start calling. And he just starts walking. And all of the other sheep stay put and his sheep start following him. Say why? They know his voice. And when he starts moving, they start moving because they don't want to lose their shepherd. Can I tell you something? Maybe instead of screaming and hollering at each other, maybe we ought to lead by like a shepherd instead of a cowboy. God says in Acts chapter 10, verse number 13, that he has the voice of deliverance. In Psalm 5, verse number 3, it says his voice is that of a morning call. That's your alarm. Wake you up. And I love this. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. I would be remiss if I didn't use this. I left it for last on purpose. Look at verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. We know that God has the voice of salvation. Say, how do we know it? Because when we open that book and show somebody they're a sinner and lost on their way to hell, that Jesus came and paid their sin debt, and if you show them in the Bible, they have a way of saying, I don't want to go there. I'd like to receive what God did for me. And they bow their head and trust Jesus Christ. He's there knocking at the door. He said, it's all you got to do is open the door and listen to my voice. That's the voice of God. The word of God. It is the voice of salvation. How about we get in his word and hear his voice? You want to hear the voice of God? Right there it is. I've read tens of thousands of pages on General Patton. People ask me all the time, what's your favorite book by Patton? It's his memoirs called, I forget what the title of it is all of a sudden. I've got it on my shelf. I can pull it right out right now and tell you. But it's his memoirs. Patton was supposedly killed in a car accident. I think he was personally murdered, but that's neither here nor there. Before he ended up having an official biography written, but he kept good notes and good memoirs throughout his entire career, and that's what this is. It's called War as I Knew It. Knew it would come to me. Fantastic book. Say, why? Everybody talks about how foul-mouthed and vile and how rough General Patton was. You know, in private, he didn't do that. That was all show. You know, he spent 3 hours in that book before every battle. You know, he was dyslexic as a child. His mother and his aunt taught him at home, and they only gave him the Bible and Shakespeare to read. He knew his Bible better than most people, most preachers. He said, how can I go to battle without 3 hours in the Word of God and prayer? He wasn't quite as foul as Hollywood makes him out to be. How about we get in that book and hear the voice of God? As you read it, remember, God spoke it. These are his words. Doesn't sound like Patton, but it's the words of God. Do you know his voice? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, how badly do you want to know his voice? I know this, when I take my last breath here or we go up in the rapture, I can't wait to hear what he sounds like. But I know I'm going to know him by the words that he uses, because I'll be familiar enough with his word. How about you?